This is Joy Peterson, taping for Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society Quilters on File project. I'm taping Becky Schaefer in her home. Becky, do I have your permission to tape?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Your home is at 1419 St. James Court, Jefferson County, Louisville, Kentucky. Is that correct?
Right.
This is really a continuation of an interview that's labeled JDP26. It was done on March 15th, 1988 by Joy Peterson with Becky Schaefer in her home. The fourth side of the tape, that is the second side of the second tape, was not activated, and therefore we are in the middle of the interview questions. Becky, the question that we had that was hanging at the end of our interview, or at the end of the first side of the second tape, was, I'm looking for it. Have you ever entered a quilt in a quilt show?
Yes.
And can you tell me how you feel about entering quilts in shows? Or contests?
As I was saying before the tape was lost, a lot of what I had talked about split my work into two categories, the miniatures, the craft, and then what I hope someday will be an art. And to answer your question about quilt shows or exhibits, I have to also separate those two. So I have entered quite a few, or at least I had when I started out, miniatures. And I think my craftsmanship was all right, so I felt quite confident about that. After a while, though, it felt to me as if there was really no purpose in entering my miniatures any longer. I did it for two reasons. One, for affirmation, to see if my work was worthy of being accepted in a show. And secondly, to let other people know what I did. And to those two goals were pretty much filled. Now my art, if you can call it that, I've been very, very tentative about entering it because it's a frightening thing, I think. This is what I started saying, so. Why is it frightening? The content of my own work as opposed to the miniatures is very different. And I learned a long time ago that it has a lot more to say about who I am than my miniatures. My miniatures pretty much say that I can do the work and my workmanship is all right. My art, though, would say two things. One, whether you have the eye of an artist. And that's a terribly frightening thing for me because I have no art background, no real schooling in art. So what I have to put out there is intuitive. And I don't think that my eye is able to judge yet whether all those different design factors that make a piece palatable, shall we say, are there or not. I'm not sure of that. And then the second aspect of producing a piece of art is that you really are laying yourself out there, and that's terribly frightening.
Can you give me a quilt or two, or wall hanger or two that you've done that are in this category of the expression of yourself, the mm-hmm. art?
I'll talk about what I feel is my most successful piece, and that's a Requiem piece. That was submitted and accepted by Quilt National. That was a very exciting piece, both in terms of the working on it and in terms of how people received it. In terms of working on it, it flowed. Not that it just, I worked on it nonstop. There were certainly times when I had to sit back and say, okay, now where do I go? But everything about the quilt hung together, both in terms of the emotional input and the visual. And I was very pleased with that. I was quite surprised at some people's reaction to that quilt. It was maybe a little different than what I meant it to be, and I think that that also speaks to success. And I've had, for that one, I have had maybe 24 not successful pieces where it was a struggle to put it together, where something about it, it was almost okay, but just not quite right, and I couldn't pinpoint what it was. I think that my hollyhocks quilt, I think you have a picture of that?
I think we do, and we'll talk about it more specifically
later
when we
go
through the pictures. All right. Today.
I think that was a case, is a case. Now, I have not been brave enough to submit that to anywhere because there's something a little bit off about that quilt, and I don't know what it is. So, and it was a struggle to create that quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel comfortable yet with that area of my work.
What about the one that has the woman on it with losing her
head? That, again, I haven't been brave enough to submit anywhere.
Tell the tape about that one, because we have in the JDP 26 interview on March 15th, the researcher will find that this requiem quilt is dealt with in depth.
Oh, I wonder.
And it has the Fields of Flanders quilt
right.
All. But we haven't gone into depth, my recollection, about the one that we just mentioned about losing a grip.
Yeah, the title of the quilt really speaks to what the quilt is about, which is there were rumors she was losing her grip, or she had lost her grip. And when I first moved here, and we haven't talked about this at all?
I don't recall having written much about it, so I think you can go right into depth on this.
It was a quilt that was created out of a sense of chaos of moving here. I had just moved my things into the studio on Main Street and had boxes and boxes of things, and as I unpacked them, it felt as if they were kind of remnants of past lives, little collections of little piece of Japanese fabric, just dozens of odd quilt blocks, antique American quilt blocks. And so I just kind of started jamming them together. And it felt like that's kind of what I was trying to do with my life at that time, taking different remnants of my life and just jamming them together and trying to make a cohesive, meaningful whole. Well, of course, when you look at it, it's not a cohesive, meaningful whole. There is a Xerox, color Xerox of a woman on the quilt, and she's my favorite part of the quilt because it's the most hopeful part of the quilt in that she's a very strong looking woman. She looks as if she could weather many storms. The quilt is not pleasing to look at, and I still struggle with that because I think my inclination is more toward the decorative rather than the expressive. So when I do a piece that's not beautiful to look at, it's a little disturbing.
I think it's extraordinarily interesting. It
holds
the viewer.
That it does.
Is there any other quilt that you would put in those that category of your ones where you're expressing yourself that you would like to talk about at this point?
Well, there were several, a series that I did. I didn't recognize them as being a series until later, but there were a series that I did prior to my sister's death 3 years ago now. So they all predated the Requiem quilt. And as I see it now, in a sense, led up to the Requiem quilt. And two in particular, I remember they were done all with solid fabric, so it was really a graphic color play is what they were about. And I didn't like what was happening with those. I think that they were all right, but they were just too, they weren't subtle enough. And in both cases, I ended up cutting the quilts apart and making new quilts out of them. In one case, a triplicate in four parts, which or four small squares, and the piece is much better than it was as a whole huge rectangle. And the other one was a perfectly symmetrical mandala, and it was boring to look at. And what I did with that piece was to sew black bars over it and to cut it off so that it was off-center. It wasn't a symmetrical mandala anymore. And both were better.
Mm.
But I may have mentioned this earlier, too. One of the things that I've learned is, as in writing, I don't know which writer talks about this, a writer on writing, that you need to get rid of all signs of struggle in your work. And in both cases, the struggle was clearly still visible.
Mm. Well, that's fascinating. Have you received any ribbons and awards for your work?
Yes, I have.
Do you recall specifically different ones? Would it be on the resume?
Yeah, they're on the resume, and I only have three of them mentioned here. I think that an award I received from the Marine Society of Artists in June of 84, it was shortly after we moved back to California from Maryland. That was really one of the most important ones for me, because that was the first non-miniature piece that I had ever entered in a show, and it received a cash award, and I was very, very affirmed by that.
What piece did you submit to get that award?
It was a piece entitled Darkness is as Light. It's an all-wool piece.
I hope we get a picture of it.
I have a slide of it. It's one of those very difficult to photograph pieces, so I may have given it to you.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yes,
the reviewer in the newspaper, when she was writing up on the show, said that it was reminiscent of Amish. Well, I think that she was not a quilt maker, because it was reminiscent of Amish only in the sense that it was made of wool and dark colors.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But she talked about the I don't even know how this word is said. It means a quality of light coming through, and it's spelled C-H-I-O-R, something chioresco or something.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what the word is. I can't recall it now. But in a lot of, I'm not sure, maybe Renaissance kind of paintings, they have the quality of light coming through.
The Dutch painters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I wish I knew the word.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So I was pleased with that, and I worked with that concept for a while in my work, just really value gradation in quilters, more in quilters language.
Yeah.
But it started getting gimmicky. I think any time you use a visual effect and work on it too much, it becomes gimmicky.
Hmm.
No tables anymore. No.
Let's see. Would you loan a quilt to a show or a museum?
Yes, I would.
You'd have no concern about the... Well, so often people would say, no, I just feel like there'd be no way to protect it.
Yeah.
But
in most
for the most part, you've done this and you've not run into any major problems that would keep you from doing it in the future.
No, I don't know if it's on the resume or not, but I did have a show at a Richmond museum. So that was the only museum show that I did. Let's see. Yeah, Richmond. There are a few shows that I have not submitted to, but they are mostly small shows that guilds do. And when the guilds cannot provide insurance, for me it usually isn't worth it to purchase, especially for one show, insurance.
Right. In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting?
Yes, although I really you know, I haven't been in quilting that long to be able to safely say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The changes really are cyclical, I think, rather than movement from point A to point B. I think, because when you look back at quilts, you can clearly see how they were utilitarian, and then people really were more attuned to the visual aspects of the quilts, and then more attuned to the emotional impact of quilts, and then back to utilitarian. And so I think that it is cyclical. And now we seem to be in less of a utilitarian and more of a quilt as art kind of a phase. But I think it'll go back.
What is the value of quilting?
Let me parenthesis this by saying I don't know, I can't quite remember what we've talked about in the previous tape or not, but immediately it comes to mind that for women it is a area where they are able to produce something without it being judged, that they can be proud of what they do. And then for me it's really a form of visual journal writing.
What are your favorite colors to use in the quilt?
Depends totally on my mood and the time of year. Yeah, I can't. Although right now my favorite kinds of colors are what I call ambiguous colors, colors that can read in many different ways. For instance, a clay kind of a color that can either read toward the maroon or read toward almost a rust kind of color, brick red, those kinds of colors.
What kind of fabrics do you use?
Most of the time, 100% cotton, but depends on what I'm working on, because it's Japanese silk.
What is there different about handling the Japanese silk from 100% cotton?
I need to back it, usually. It's just much more fragile. But in that sense, it's very similar to a lot of the fragile antique pieces. So when I'm working with 100% contemporary cotton, then I'm much more tuned into the lastability of the piece. When I'm working with silks, and this has been a criticism of working with silks and fragile fabrics, the piece isn't going to last. But that has not really bothered me enough, really, into having my work last over generations.
How much of a particular fabric do you usually purchase when you find fabric?
Depends on if I like it or not. If I like it, I've learned to buy at least 5 yards. If it's a fabric that I think I could use a lot.
How much inventory of fabrics do you have on hand?
It's shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves.
What size needle do you use?
For quilting, a size 12.
And anything specific for piecing or applique?
No, machine, a standard size for medium weight fabric.
What kind of thread do you use?
Cotton or cotton-covered polyester.
Have you used this sashiko thread for Japanese?
No, thread? I haven't.
Do you wax your thread?
No.
What kind of backing do you use?
My favorite is cotton classic.
That's 80% cotton, 20% polyester.
I believe so. It doesn't fall apart the way a cotton bat would.
you wash it, shrink it first.
Right, it's almost impossible to get a needle through unless you do that. Mm-hmm. I discovered tragically.
Have you had problems with bearding or migration?
On using black wool or black fabrics in general, yeah.
And as far as spraying,
that's a black bat, I decided.
Yes, that'd be neat, a black bat. As far as a floor frame, do you use a hoop or a floor frame, or do you quilt with a hoop?
Mostly with a hoop, although on a bigger piece, I'll put it on the floor frame, although I haven't used my floor frame as much as I thought I would.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, I'm sorry to say that the fabrics have gotten poorer in quality. The thread count is fewer,
mm-hmm.
coarser fabrics.
Yeah.
I think that as far as dye fastness goes, the dyes are probably a little better than 10 years ago. The blues in particular are better. But the fabric, I know, just changes.
Do you expect much change in the future with fabric?
Again, cyclical. To the economy.
Do you wash your quilts?
Yes, just throw them in the washing machine, usually.
If you had Japanese fabric,
oh.
would you, and incorporated in a quilt with
yeah.
100%
yeah.
cotton, would you wash it?
No, no. And I haven't experimented enough with some of the surface design things. For example, painting with metallic silver paint, whether that's, now I, before I did that on a particular piece, I sampled it on a piece of cotton and threw that in wash and it came out beautifully.
Hmm.
But I'm just a little afraid to do that with a full piece. And also, silks just won't go through the
no.
machine at all.
Do you sign your quilts?
Yes.
How and where?
My miniatures on the bottom, I initial RF, and then on the back, I write, especially if they're, well, only if they're antique fabric miniatures, I write the date so that there's no confusion that they are contemporary rather
mm-hmm.
than real antique. And then on my larger pieces, I'll write out the apple shape and
mm-hmm.
the year usually.
Embroidery or?
Embroidery,
yeah.
And just longhand.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite quilt pattern?
Oh, I had answered this last time by saying Feathered Star, I think, for some reason. Don't know why.
What older quilts do you own?
I was going to say only one, but two. I have one, it's four touching Lemoyne stars make up the block. And very soft colors on white with a great deal of quilting kind of falling apart. I guess its age is probably 1890, maybe a little earlier.
It was family or it was purchased?
No, it was purchased, and I was able to afford it because it's falling apart. And the other one is a one that it's green with the obviously the dye has migrated somewhat. Green and red applique, oak leaf and reel. And it was found in a church. And when we said to Scott, who had been interning at the church, I know that your wife is interested in quilting. Would she want this quilt? So yeah.
Do you attend auctions, flea markets, et cetera, with the idea of trying to purchase quilts?
I did for about 4 years when we lived in Maryland. I would go to almost everything that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I collected my antique quilt tops and fabrics.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about quilters in your family that we have not already discussed?
None that I know of.
Can you describe to me, would you like to describe for the tape any future projects that you have?
I'm working right now on a challenge quilt for Silver Dollar Quilt City Days, or some such thing, I should know more specifically. But it's co-sponsored by Silver Dollar City Quilt Days and Spring Mills Industries. Spring Mills provided the fabric, and there were about a dozen quilters who were asked to submit a 36-inch square quilt using any or all of those quilts. And this year's theme is on solid ground, and we're asked to use 50% solids and 50% prints. Although the content of what we do can be, it doesn't have to be on solid ground. But I thought I would use the on solid ground as a theme and kind of play with a positive, negative thing with color, so that hopefully when the piece is done, there will be background pieces might in fact advance or might recede according to the ground. But obviously in the head is easier than on the felt board, so I'm struggling with it right now. I'm having difficulty working with the prints. They're very flowery kind of prints. I'm just not used to working with calicoes like that. Mm.
Do you know who some of the other quilters are?
Not this year. Last year, Judy Warren, and a lot of people did some wonderful things last year. Bettina Havoc, who is kind of in charge of the whole thing, submitted one last year that was three carousel horses that on planes, different planes. It was just a wonderful piece.
Well, that concludes our questions that need to be asked, and I know you're feeling disjointed about the interview because we can't recall that which was said so long ago, March 15th. It's weeks ago, but I wonder if there's anything else that you think of before we start discussing the snapshots and slides that I brought, or any pieces that I might take a picture of. Is there anything else that you think of that you'd like to put on the tape?
Well, just mostly because of what transpired in terms of my work for the past 6 weeks, which is to say nothing. And I've been thinking a lot about a quilter's version of writer's block and trying to reassure myself that that's not an unusual thing, but it's a very frightening place to be for someone who says that this is what she's about. And I think it has to do with a move in a new environment. I think environmental factors are very, very important to the kind of things that that have an impact on you visually and emotionally. And so I'm really in limbo now because I had been going full force in the Japanese kinds of motifs and incorporating Japanese motifs and early American motifs. And it felt very comfortable doing that. But here in Kentucky, it's a very different kind of environment. And the folk arts are very different. You don't find the Japanese influence here. And I know that that's going to influence my work, but I feel frustrated now because I haven't finished that previous stage, and yet I don't know if I can. I think that my struggle over the next few months will be in trying to find some way of either incorporating that Japanese influence in my work into whatever is going to emerge here, or finding some closure for it.
Well, it's tough with your surroundings being
yeah.
Can you describe to the tape what's happening in your life as far as the residence that you live in?
Well, yesterday as I was stripping walls, and I was surrounded by just piles of wallpaper on the floor and just shards of wallpaper dripping from the ceiling and glue and everything, I was thinking I should have a series of slides made of this and talk about it as if it's an old quilt that I am restoring, because there are a lot of similarities. The house is about 100 years old and has not really been taken care of except in a cosmetic sort of sense for at least 50 years. It hasn't been been taken care of. I think 50 years ago was the last time real work was done on the house. So for the last 50 years, the house has been increasingly chopped up into boarding rooms. And so it's our task now to restore as much of it as we can. And we're starting out by doing the kind of essentials, like fixing holes in the ceiling, and then moving on to some of the more cosmetic things. That doesn't even count the mechanicals, which I won't even talk about, the heating and the roof and things like that. It's a little discouraging. It's putting my energies into definitely the decorative.
This is Joy Peterson recording Becky Schaefer in her home on April 28, 1988, referred to as JVP 27. And this is side two, tape one. Actually, this is a continuation, not only of the other side of this tape, but of the interview done with Becky Schaefer, March 15th, 1988, called JDP 26. On the other side of this tape, Becky, we were talking about the fact that you are living in surroundings that are very difficult as far as trying to get on with creative work. As far as enjoying your hobby of quilting, and that you've had to put your energies into this other facet of your life, this redoing this 100-year-old home. I wonder if there's anything else you wanted to talk about before we start talking about these pictures that I brought of your work. Is that okay?
Yeah, we can go.
Okay. These are some slides that you gave me last time, and I thought as we look at one, we'd hold it up and you could just tell about what it is, and then I will number it. I will give it a new number and put it in the file. Now, do you want to talk about that one?
The first one is a plate that was used in the book, and it's really the best way that I saw. It's a little miniature furniture room set up of showing the scale of some of the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Next to a full-size book.
Mm-hmm. Now these are going to be in strange order, but at the same time I think we'll be able to write them up.
This is one of a series that I've been working on. This is called Stepping Out and Cutting Up. I've been working on quilt collages. Most of what I've been doing has not been very successful. This, however, I think is a successful piece. This is just a play on rhythm. On repeating shapes, and I use the turndash shape, and I do it in just the positive, negative, the black and white, and then with color, and then I have stenciled, stylized dancers around it, which really fits in with the kind of rhythmic.
That's not a fabric that you purchased that has.
No, that's silk screened. With Versatex. Yeah. That was a fun piece to work on. It's a miniature.
What's Versatex? How do you spell it?
V-E-R-S-E-T-E-X. It's a fabric paint. It's a pigment rather than a dye.
And it's what you use in silk screening.
Well, you shouldn't, because it changes the hand of the fabric, as opposed to using a Procyon.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But if you use it light, it's used for stenciling a lot.
Oh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And this one.
This is a piece that was made for Jenny, basket with no handles. And it's again a rhythm play, a repeat of a stylized basket. Each basket has a trapunto handle. And one basket has no handle at all, but stenciled in it a confusion of flowers, as opposed to the other ones, which have only one small flower.
How old was Becky when you made that?
Jenny. Let's see, I guess she was about 5 or 6.
So but it's been 3 years ago.
Yeah. It is obviously a reference to Jenny being Down syndrome. That even a basket with no handles can have as much beauty, if not more even, than baskets with handles.
Great. Oh, I know. Listen.
This is the There Were Rumors piece.
Yeah, and there's two of them here.
Right, and I believe that you have the original, the slide of before I changed it, and I like it much better now because I put a startlingly red piece on the bottom in the far right side, and the piece works much better now because that red holds it in. And I also stenciled in some of the white. The value was totally off on this piece. The values, it was too jumbled to look at. So I simply stenciled, pounded dark colors into some of the light areas to bring out other areas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have more than one of this. This is a, that's
well,
a detail.
Well, this is a Hollyhocks piece. And when I look at it now, I see that it really was more of an exercise in circus design than anything else. And I still don't know what it is about the piece that doesn't really please me. It just didn't work quite as well. I was very excited about the idea of it, and I still love the New York Beauty design. This piece started out with the white background fabric, which was a very, very simple and elementary silk screen exercise. I had taken a silk screening class back at Pacific Basin School of Textile Arts in California, in Berkeley, California. And that was really one of the first pieces that we did. And it was, again, a value play. I do a lot of value plays, value and scale.
That wasn't the one about the using the Soji screens? And
yeah,
the
and that's, so the fabric was the starting place, and then against the chaos of that fabric, I decided to overlay the regularity of the New York Beauty motif and then put in some Japanese photographs and the shoji screens on the side. So it became something very different than what I started out.
But you talk about hollyhocks, and I thought it was about rain.
Yes. After the whole piece was put together, before the shoji pieces were put on, I slashed metallic rain over it. And the motif of this became based on a haiku.
And the haiku was?
The haiku is by Basho, B-A-S-H-O. And the haiku goes, all day in gray rain, hollyhocks follow the sun's hidden path. And what came out of this quilt, as far as its meaning for me, was the sense that no matter what I worked on, whether I thought I was playing with a piece of silkscreen fabric, even so, there was a certain force in my work that led me to a certain way. The Japanese influence,
uh-huh,
for example, in my background had to somehow work itself out in my quilt making. Color play has to work itself out.
Spell soji, like the screen.
Sure. S-H-O-J-I, shoji.
Shoji.
Yeah.
And spell
those
haiku.
Haiku, H-A-I-K-U. The shoji screens were made with the back of pellon, iron on pellon, so they really look very papery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think.
When did you do this one?
About a year ago. I worked on it for quite a while. It just didn't flow.
It was before
again.
You knew you were going to move?
Yeah, right. And this was really the last real Japanese kind of piece that I did. I think it's about the fifth very Japanesey piece.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not the last.
Right.
Oh, this was the very first Japanese piece that I did. It's called In the Night Garden. And I had collected, when I was in Japan, a lot of different Japanese silks and just chose these to start with because I didn't like the colors. They were very Halloween-y colors. But I loved what happened with the fabrics, and I loved taking really very disjointed kinds of fabrics and making a piece in which it looked as if the fabrics really flowed together. It's a fun piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a piece that I like more than other people do for some reason.
And what's the name of this one?
In the
Night Garden.
Garden, right.
And you did it when?
When I got back from Japan, so about 2.5 years ago.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, they were all done in, well, I guess maybe I finished them within the last year.
Uh-huh. And this is a night yard in detail.
Right. That's a heavily stipple quilted area.
Mm-hmm.
With some swan
lectures. Yeah. Well, we had some pictures now. I don't know. These are just duplicates I'll leave here. Now, shall we talk about this one?
This is another Japanese piece where this was the second one that I did, actually, where I started out with what I thought was a very ugly piece of Japanese fabric with little pink and red toys on it, and I decided to cut the toys out and then applique them on. And the idea of a train that at first had everything piled up, and then as it went on, things spilled out. What I played with.
Now, was that after Night Garden?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a picture of a...
These were mostly miniature quilts that are featured in the book. And what I've done is I've taken two large, maybe 45 by 45 pieces of fabric with batting, thick batting, and then I've sewed the miniatures onto them. So when I go to give a lecture, I generally take these two pieces with me, and each has about, was it, 6 or 7 miniatures on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're fairly representative of my work in miniature.
And these are of your...
Oh, here's one that, I did get one there.
Yeah.
With the red on it.
This is the one about losing the grip.
Right.
And this is the basket with no handles.
It shows up better here than it does on the slide.
And this is the Night Garden.
Night Garden.
And I suppose this is another one you take.
That's
to
the second, right, of the miniatures. Oh, there are only 4 miniatures on that.
What's this here?
That's a little crocheted hat, just kind of for effect.
And I suppose this is the rain, what do you
yes,
call it?
Hollyhock's quilt.
Hollyhock's quilt. I keep calling it the rain quilt.
Oh, that turned out nicely. She has a detail of one of the photographs. I have 2 color Xerox transfers of black and white pictures on the Hollyhock's quilt. I'm very pleased with that.
Who is that?
That's my mother and father and my younger, one of my sisters and myself, all in Japanese kimono. That's what I tried to get my photographer to do in the other one. Oh.
Now, who are those?
These are 2 of my sisters and a Japanese friend, and it's obviously Girls' Day. We're in front of we're all dressed in traditional Japanese kimono, and we're in front of a very ornate Emperor and Empress doll display, which was traditional in Japanese homes. Bring that once a year for Girls' Day.
There was a Girls' Day.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Hmm. Well, now, that's all the slides and all the pictures I have.
This makes me like the quilt a little better.
Oh, I like it. Is there any... I have my camera here.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any quilts you would like for me to take pictures of, or are there other quilts, pictures that you have, or slides that you would like to include?
Just the one since we talked about it, The Darkness is as Light, so I'll
yes.
have to give you a copy of that.
All right. And let's talk a little about Darkness is as Light, so
mm-hmm.
that when I get the picture that
mm-hmm.
you will have something cued in here on it.
All right. It's a quilt, as I mentioned earlier, made of all wool fabric. And I made it shortly after seeing this brief collection of Amish quilts. I was very influenced by the depth of color that you can get in wool. I was very impressed with that. And it's a regular repeat design that incorporates curves.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother had drawn up the design, actually. And it's a value play. But I worked on it while reflecting on Psalm 139, in which there's the line, "Darkness is as light to thee, O Lord," which is a wonderful kind of, to me, statement about the wholeness of our lives, whether we are riding high or lying low, that we're all the same people. I am the same person whether I'm in a more depressed state or whether I'm really feeling good. So darkness mm-hmm. is as light.
Hold that thought, Becky.
Thank you. Sure do. Whether I'm productive or not productive. Thank you, Joy.
Well, I don't want to take any more of your time. I might mention that some of the noise that's gone on in the background has been the men that have been here to help you with your project. So I know we're taking your time, and I do thank you for the interview.
Well, thank you, Joy.